Vibe tribes. People, we're back. We're still here. We ain't going nowhere. Welcome to another episode of Vibes and Tribes with me, your host, Baze, Bio, whatever you want to call me. And today, we got a familiar face again, people. But we're really going to get to know, the life origin story of the accountant. So, Lou, for those listeners who are tuning in for the first time, I don't know if you want to just quickly introduce yourself, and then I'll introduce the topic and we'll jump into it.
Cool. Yeah, so it's been the long-awaited episode of the accountant. So I've known Bio for 20-odd years now, a long time. I'm an accountant, but we'll dive into that a bit later. Here to just chop up what that involves, really.
Yeah, love that, Lou. Welcome back. Is this what, third time, fourth time?
Fourth, maybe, but it's been a while.
Hasn't it?
Okay,
before we get into it, so guys, continue to support the journey, please. Like, subscribe, comment, share the thing, support, show love to Vibes and Tribes, and thank you to all the people that have done it up until this point. I always like to start with Lou. So, what's your current job title?
So, my current job title is Associate Finance Director.
Jeez, we got a director in the building, a finance director, Associate Finance Director. Nice. But before we talk about that, we'll go way, 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 way back as we do. Yep. And we'll start in secondary school. So, what secondary school did you go to?
So, I went to Chadwell Heath Foundation School. which you're very, very familiar with.
Yeah. So, me and Lou went to school together. If you didn't get it from all of the sounds I was just making, and talk to me, Lou. What was secondary school like for you?
So I loved secondary school. It's one of those ones, you know, when you like start reminiscing and you realize just how much you actually did like it. And anyone who sort of knows us and knows the school, like our year was just, it was just a vibe. It was just such a great bunch of people. There's no real conflict with anyone. I honestly would love to go back to those. No, honestly, I know it sounds mad. Like, obviously there's some great things happen as you get older, but you don't really appreciate how great school was until you sort of look back and realize that it was like 15 years ago.
I know, we're bloody old, aren't we? And I suppose, yeah, from the academic standpoint, we'll start with your GCSEs first, or just your academics in general. How were they?
So academically, I think I was like pretty smart. Like, I'm sort of the person where I'm smart, but I also worked hard. Do you know what I mean?
Worked hard, but pretended he was on MSN Messenger when really he had his book open.
Like, I was multitasking. MSN here, working here. But like, I think like I'm one of these people that I can hone in.
Yeah.
When I need to hone in, I can hone in and just like shut everything off and just bang the work out. So from an academic standpoint, so GCSEs, I did like all the standard ones, maths, English, science. And then the options actually were a bit more creative. I did PE, drama, and media. It was a bit of a mixture, like academic, bit creative.
Yeah.
So good balance.
And you say you put in the work. So typically at school, did quite well through your GCSEs.
Yeah, so GCSE, I think I got all A's.
You got all A's?
All A's.
Jeez. Yeah, all A's. Any A stars?
No, it was just like all A's. That's the kind of guy I was. I wasn't like the best, but I was just like, I was good.
Worked hard, got good grades. Mate, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And at this point, so, you know, we've gone through GCSEs. I know that you move into Chadwell Heath Sixth Form as well. Is this with a view to already knowing what you want to do at university? Do you have any idea at this point?
No, absolutely no idea.
Well,
to tell a lie, if I was going to be honest with you, I thought I would go down more of the creative route at this point. At GCSE level, really enjoyed like drama, media, PE. And I remember actually, you know, the open day where you go around and for your A levels. And I remember my science teacher at the time, I don't know if you remember Mr. Paffer.
Of course.
Mr. Paffer, like, I sort of told him, like, I'm going to do like drama, media, whatever. He looked at me, he was like, Lewis, like, you're so smart. Like, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, you should do physics. He was telling me to do physics or at least a science. He's like, you're really good at it. at that age, you know, I was just enjoying, like, I did the things that I enjoyed. And kind of a little bit of regret, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I do regret it.
So what did you end up picking for sixth form?
So I picked maths.
Yeah.
PE, media, yeah. Drama.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, okay.
I went hella creative.
Yeah.
And literally, yeah, only real one academic subject.
Mm.
If I was to go back now, I would have probably done maths, PE, either physics or biology and economics, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then what one did you drop in your... Did you drop one? Because I
did. I continued doing four into my second year.
Mm.
And I was so just demotivated with, like, how some of the subjects were going.
Oh, really?
I dropped drama like halfway through second year.
Oh, wow.
I'm not gonna lie, like, sixth form for me, it was actually, I enjoyed sixth form, but the studying, I started to fall out of love with it a little bit.
Was there any reason in particular, thinking back?
I think, you know what it is, when you do stuff like drama and media, it's very team focused. So for me, I started realizing that, like, and I'm not like dissing it on here, but I felt like other people were bringing me down.
Yeah.
So like my marks getting affected because other people are not doing what they need to do, and it sort of demotivated me, because I'm like, I'm working my ass off and I'm getting like dead grades because people in and around me were just not really helping or
messing it up.
So it kind of demotivated me, and actually my A levels weren't nowhere near as good as they should have been.
Okay, so before we talk about the overall A-level score, so you're doing four in your in the first year, and yeah, like you said, you enjoyed secondary school. Was there much of a difference? Because, you know, you get an influx of people in, like, we know, like, you know, one of our closest boys came in. Did that affect, or did you just still feel like one of the guys and there wasn't really any impact to you socially?
I think we still had the core. Main core stayed on. It was just kind of like just same as
vibes of C.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about falling out of love with it. Do you feel like that had anything to do with how well you did at GCSE, or was it just, you know, what you're saying about, you know, other people potentially bringing down some of your grades?
Yeah, I think there comes a bit of a pressure with doing well as well, because I remember I was predicted to get like four A's at A level, right? And I just remember, like, I don't know, it's a hard one to put on it, but there's certain expectations, and and, you know, I crumbled, and it's probably the one point in my life where I really just struggled. I think, you know, I just struggled with, like, just being motivated and doing the best I could.
Doing what you needed to. Okay, so when do you start thinking about university? Do you start thinking about in your first year of A-levels or second year?
I'd say more second year, to be honest.
It was more second year. Yeah. How did you come to the decision, number one, for where you wanted to go, and then number two, for what you wanted to study? How'd that formulate?
So I've got to kind of shout out my brothers, and this is where the joy of having like three older brothers comes in, because they'd all been to uni.
Hold tight, that Ridges.
They'd all pretty much done stuff that they kind of enjoyed at school. So they all kind of went into like either sports or media kind of. And I remember just sitting down with my brother, and he said to me, I'm like, I've done well at uni, but I'm struggling to get a job. I'm really struggling to get a job. And he's like, really think about a career that's going to be, you know, it's going to be something that you're going to be able to get a job in and be successful in. Because he said, you know, there's no point in going to uni 3 years and just coming out and can't get a job. So then I started really thinking, you know what? Maths is the only real academic subject I've got here.
Yeah.
So like, I've got to try and bank on the maths, and I probably put my most focus into maths.
Yeah.
In A levels. So that's sort of what leaned me towards going into a financial sort of field, I'd say.
Okay. We'll get onto it properly. But what did you end up choosing to study?
So I did accounting and finance.
Accounting and finance, nice. And then, yeah, so the second half of that question, like I said, how did you decide where you wanted to go?
Oh, again, so I wanted to move like far enough away that I was independent, and then close enough that I could just like run home. Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? In case like yeah, you need, yeah, yeah, need to see, because I'm kind of, I'm quite like close to my family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to be close enough.
That's, no, that's nice. That's
nice. So yeah, I had like a few choices. And I knew that the uni I ended up going to, I knew a couple of the boys in the year above me, and they kept raving to me about how good it was and how good the nightlife was. And I was just like, yeah, yeah.
You was gassed. Yeah. All right, fair. So I think, yeah, takeaway there for people who are potentially looking to fly the nest and leave for university. Even me at Southampton, there were people that left after a month or two because they got extremely homesick. So I think taking a leaf out of Lou's book, maybe when you are looking at where you to study, think about, yeah, transport links and how quickly you can go to and from and how expensive it is, because these things do play a factor into it. You do want to, I mean, I didn't get home as much as I'd like to, but
you've enjoyed it. Yeah, yeah.
But these are things that, yeah, you know, we're in hindsight, they can definitely play a part in your decision. So do you mind talking about how well you did at the end of your A levels?
Yeah, so I was predicted to get all A's, and I actually got A, B, C. So I was very disappointed.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, very, very disappointed.
And that's probably like the first time in your life where there's been that kind of disappointment, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, it took me like the whole summer.
Really?
Yeah, but I was so like, there was like disappointment in myself. I felt like I let my family down, like all those kind of things. Because, you know, I did the best at GCSEs at all my brothers. Mm. And then there's that title, oh, he's the smartest one. Like, yeah. You know, like the fact that my mum's parading me around, like, he's so good, like, yeah, he's so smart. Yeah, yeah. And then I got ABC, and I'd never really wanted to talk about it. I just wanted to just forget about that part of my life. Like, not forget about that part of my life, but in terms of academically.
You don't want to, yeah. You
didn't really want to talk about it.
Yeah, I was yeah. And I suppose the tough, now, on reflection, would you say it is just the lack of motivation that played to that? Like, when you got your results through, like, I know for me sometimes you do an exam and you know, like, oh, damn, like, I flopped that one. I did quite well. Did it take you by surprise?
So, the exam? I was expecting A, B, B.
Okay.
That's what I was expecting.
Okay.
To get the C was, I was like, I was like, nah. Like, I was saying to them, they need to get it remarked. Like,
oh, wow.
I was fuming. I was like, there's no way I'm getting a C.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, even my teacher said, like, she was shocked. Okay. She was like, I don't understand, like, how you're getting a C. And I'm like, I don't know either, to be honest.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was a big shock. I was like, because even though I said I was unmotivated, I still thought I was intellectual enough to get the B. Yeah, yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah, it was still, it was a big shock, to be fair.
Wow. Wow. I got two A's and two C's, man. Did I expect that? I don't know. But fair. Okay, so you end up doing accounting and finance, and the university you go to is?
The University of East Anglia, which is in Norwich. Hang tight, Norwich, you know them ones.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't go there, guys. I don't know why I gave the sounds there. But yeah, UEA, Lou. Yeah. So first of all, just give me like a general overview about UEA. Do you have fond memories looking back?
Yeah, so I definitely fond memories, but it's very, very different to where we grew up. So, you know, like, we grew up in a very diverse school,
right? Diverse area, really.
Diverse area, diverse school. And, like, as people that know me, I've got a very diverse group of friends.
He's cultured. Yeah, very cultured.
So I've got a very diverse group of friends. So, you know, just growing up in that environment and going to UEA, I would say, like, it was probably predominantly white, I would say predominantly, like not everyone, but obviously predominantly, and probably like, as you know, probably like yours, it was very middle to upper class. I'd say like a lot of the people you meet seem to be fairly
well off,
fairly wealthy, you know, family's got money kind of thing. And like the first few weeks, again, it was an adjustment period. And to be fair, I went with Nathan. So Nathan, who is like one of our best friends at school and still is, to be fair, but he came to UEA as well, so it helped having like him with me. But like the first few weeks I struggled a bit because I felt like people were looking at me funny, like it's like they never seen a white guy who liked hip-hop. And
oh really?
Yeah, it was a bit odd. Like I felt a bit like I didn't like it at first. I felt a little bit like, you know, like because I'd go to sometimes
also go
yeah so I'd go to like the like we'd go to like the you know like the flat parties and stuff. And, like, I'd jump on the DJ thing and I'd start putting some tunes on and everyone's like, what's this guy playing?
Oh wow. They wanted just the bright side and all them.
So you know them ones where you're like, and then you know those sort of times as well, like I'd kind of wear, I was like when snapbacks were in, you know, when snapbacks were in, I had a lot of snapbacks. And I just feel like people it was weird. It's, I felt like people had never met someone like me before, and I just found that really weird because in Chadwell Heath,
it was the norm.
It was just normal, right? So that took a little bit of adjusting, I'd say, like the first, you know, maybe first couple of months of people to get to know me and me to get to know them. And because I always said that once people know me,
it's blessed.
It's just like,
you're a good guy.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It takes care of itself. Was there ever a thought in your head in that first 2 months that, this ain't for me, like, I want to bust out? Or nah, it was just...
I think, I remember when my family dropped me off and I was in the halls and you sort of sit on your bed and you're like, I'm a bit alone.
Yeah, like, man, mine was way worse than yours. Yours, you were in halls.
Yeah, yours would be way worse. But I sort of sat on the bed and thought, this is, you know, a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I had Nathan.
Yeah.
So like...
Were you in the same halls as well?
Nah, he was in somewhere else. he was somewhere else. But, I remember the best thing though is like, I sat there and then I was like, I rang Nathan, I was like, should we just go to like
the bar?
And it helped having that person. And in some ways, I mean, in some ways it's good because it means it's easier to make friends, but at the same time, maybe you rely on that person a little bit too much as well. I think being on your own, you get to like meet your own people. You know what I mean? Whereas me and Nathan, because we had our relationship, we sort of made people come into our way of thinking.
Yeah, I get you. Oh my God, what's the question I have on that? Yeah, so for anybody listening to this, so potentially people who are looking to go to university, you know, you talked about how the first couple of months were hard. If you had to just give people advice, you know, whether it's going with somebody or how to immerse yourself and make friends, what would that be?
I would say just doing things that you enjoy, like, because I think at uni they have like clubs for everything. So if you're into football, go to the football trials. Like, you might be nervous, but you know, if you like football, you're going to meet people, good social, and you know, there's always varying levels. So you don't have to be like the greatest. You might there might be like five teams.
There's like intramural, isn't there? And
you know I mean, so if you're not, you know, if you're not great, you can still maybe play at like a lower level. And it's like anything, you know, if you're into even something like, if you're just into like reading books, there might be like a book club. And I just think doing things you like to try and meet similar kind of people,
like-minded people.
And obviously for me, like I love like at the time I really love going out, like making sure that you're tagging along to like any sort of social events.
Any motives,
you know, I was always like, we had like our halls was like a row of different blocks.
Okay.
So I was always like, where's the parties tonight? Kind of, you know, just walking in. You're a bit, you know, you obviously don't know too many people, but just going in and just meeting new people. Everyone's in the same boat. That's what you have to remember. Everyone's in the same boat. So
facts.
Don't feel like you're the only one feeling like it.
Yeah, that's a big fact. So on that note, did you join any societies or no? Is it a regret that you didn't?
To be honest, looking back now, again, I don't know why I didn't join football. So I played futsal. Do you know
yeah, football? Yeah, the indoor football.
Yeah, so I played some futsal. But my biggest regret is I didn't actually join the football team. And I don't know why.
Did you trial or just no?
I didn't even trial.
You didn't even trial?
I didn't even trial. I look back now because I'm playing now. I played before uni, played after uni, and I just skipped uni out, and I'm like, that was a big miss. Do you know what I mean?
Nathan played as well, didn't he?
No, he played volleyball.
Oh, he played volleyball.
He played volleyball.
Do you think that's why as well? Once again, coming, if he trialed, you probably trial.
Possibly.
He doesn't trial, so you don't trial.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Okay. And yeah, I think, yeah, just from my standpoint, for anybody listening, yeah, like in Southampton, there's something called the bum fight, and it's literally like a day where every society has a stall, and you walk around the stalls and they get you to sign up to like tasters over the first few days. And yeah, that led to me. I mean, I joined poker, which people know I love poker. I joined the football team, which I loved. And then I think the football team is quite full on. So I was doing like four times a week or five times a week. And then just your society. I mean, your actual course.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but we had like Econ SOC.
Yeah, we had that as well. Business management SOC.
Yeah. And they're putting stuff on as well. And they're people that you see quite a lot because you're in a lot of lectures with those people. So even if you're not fortunate enough to, let's say, join an athletics team that you might want to join, there's so many obscure things, World of Warcraft, and then you've definitely got your course. So yeah, for anybody listening to this looking at, you know, how to integrate, it is a little bit daunting, but like Lou said, everybody's in the same boat, right? And you just got to throw yourself into it, don't you?
And I would say as well, for me personally, I think moving and going to uni or moving out, I think so much more beneficial than just going to uni, because I feel like for me, I was most excited about that part of it. Like, yeah. You know, the educational side, we've been doing that since forever, right?
Yeah.
So I had no interest in staying at home, getting the train into London, revising, whatever, coming home, same. Like, I was like, I need to get out. I want to meet new people. I want to become independent. At the time, like, you know me, I couldn't cook, ironing. It was a myth.
But do you know what? I think we're all the same. Like, I didn't, like, my mum cooked all our meals. I mean, I knew how to boil rice. I had to have with stew. But yeah, when you go to university, I think, the academics, you can get anywhere. But the actual growing up, I think university is literally, you know, it's a bit cliche, but it's where, like, boys become men, where girls become women, because there's just, you just, it's like, you just live.
Yeah, you do.
You just live, and you have responsibilities. I think, you know, we go back to, you know, Lou Loving secondary school and whatever. There's no responsibility. Yeah, you got a little bit of homework here and there, but at uni, you've got bills to pay. You've got rent to pay. You've got course fees. You've got a budget, because you get, like, a certain amount of loan and grant and this and that. And it sets you up really well. And it also just, it leads to you not being caught by complete surprise when you get into the mad working world. So, yeah, I like that overview of UEA. So just to break it down by year, academically in the first year, like, how did you find it? Because was it just a 40% pass for you in the first year?
First year is a shambles. Oh. first year is like going out four times a week.
Oh, man.
Going out four times a week, just doing the bare minimum, like... And it comes around to, like, exam week.
Yeah.
And I feel like everyone's in the library, like, just doing a cramming, right? And I remember, I think it was, like, 40. It didn't count towards your...
towards your overall degree,
so it was, like, you had to just pass or whatever. And I remember getting, like, my percentages. And I was like, I'm dead. Like, I continued my A-level form into uni. I was like... But it really hit me again, because I was like, this is not even funny, because, like, my mum and dad had... saved up so much money to help me to go to university, right? I was like, this is actually unfair.
Yeah.
Like, I was actually, this isn't cool. Like, I shouldn't be going, like, so rogue.
Mm.
So the first year was actually a real eye-opener.
That's
I
good.
Think it was a real okay. eye-opener for me.
And then so second year, it's business time. Things actually count now. Do you buck up your ideas and, like, do you take it more seriously?
Yeah, 100% take it more seriously. So it probably goes from four nights out to three.
That's a whole extra night of study and one less day of being hungover. So that's a lot, yeah.
So it probably goes from four to three. I did start to take it more seriously. And I was like, you know, I really, you know, I need to make sure I get at least a 2-1. Mm. And I remember at the end of my second year, I got like 63%, which is a 2-1.
Yeah. So just to break up for Lou, so yeah, for anybody who's been listening, so at university you have a first class, which is anything over 70%, you get a 2-1, which is 60% to 70% or 69%, you get a 2-2, which is 50 to 59, and then a third is like 50 to 59, and then anything below 50 I think is a fail, actually. So when you hear people say Desmond as well, that's 2-2. So just breaking down some of the scores there. So you got a 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, 2-1 in second year. My course was 50% weighted in the second and third year.
Okay.
50% weighting, yeah. So I was like, okay, 63. Like, I would like to maybe a bit higher, but.
And for you, you say you take it more seriously. Obviously, you said you go out less. For people who are like, I'm not academic, is it just a case of, like, sitting at home or going to the library, reading more? Like, is it being intentional and, you know, speaking to, you know, like you said, you had people in the older years, understanding what might be on the test? What do you think it is that actually made you do better apart from going out less?
Do you know what? I'm like I'm a big sort of, like, networker around, you know, when it gets to, like, mock tests and stuff. I like to, like, talk to people, and, you know, I love to talk to people and say, oh, what do you think about this question? Like, I like to get people's understandings of different questions. So, like, luckily as well, I one of the guys I live with in the second or third year, he actually did the same course as me.
Mm.
So I was very able to, like, we sort of worked on a lot of stuff together.
Nice.
And I think working with someone helps because everyone has a different way of thinking.
It helps when they're smart.
Yeah,
and not when they're pulling you back.
Yeah, exactly. So the opposite of how it was for
you.
Yeah, and not saying that people I work with weren't smart, but they just didn't take it seriously.
Yeah.
So this person took it seriously.
Yeah.
And yeah, like working with him, getting his perspective, getting my perspective, I think it just helped. It helped a lot.
Mm.
And yeah, like we used to go to the library, like meet up with other people and just sometimes do like five people sessions where we're all in there, like working on the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, that's sort of the best way I learned.
Nice. And so we get into the end of the second year now. Do you have an idea as to what you want to do when you get out of uni at this point?
So yes, so I know that I want to go into finance in some kind of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because one of my brothers actually, he done like a sports psychology degree and he was working for a construction company doing finance. And I reached out to him and said, look, you know, is there any chance I can maybe do an internship at your company over the summer?
Nice.
And again, this is where it comes in. Like, if you know people, reach out to them.
Mm.
Reach out to as many people as you can because the internship helped so much. Like, we'll go into it a bit. But I reached out to him and he, you know, thankfully, he sorted me out and he got me like a 6-week internship.
Paid or unpaid?
It was paid. It was actually paid.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was paid as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was 6 weeks. It was actually in Camden at the time. And honestly, those 6 weeks were fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
They were really fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about it. I mean, you don't have to talk about the company specifically, but yeah, what did the internship entail?
So like it was a really, because it was in Camden, it was very informal actually. It was very like, every day was like a dress down. Camden, as you know, is quite edgy, quite vibey, lots of bars, lots of places to eat. So I went there and I met, that's where I actually met Simon.
Okay.
For the first time as well.
Oh, okay, yeah,
He's been on.
Yeah. We've had his story.
So there was, it was quite a young crowd. And the job I was doing was pretty easy. It was quite admin-y. So I was quite good at it. So I could just like, I made a good impression. I find it quite simple. It made me think that, you know what, I think like this working in London, I'll quite enjoy this. Because at first I didn't think I would. Commuting up to London every day, I didn't like the sound of that. But that 6 weeks really changed, I think, my mindset.
Okay, nice. So, all right, you do that. You get back to Norwich, third year. Talk to me. It's your final year. What's that experience like for you, like academically and personally?
So it goes from 3 nights to 2 nights.
Okay.
So you're just chopping a night away.
Yeah, one weekend.
So nice. You're just chopping it down. And to be fair, like I have to shout out all my housemates I live with because I think everyone in the third year just sort of buckled down, knew that it was time to be serious. We'd had so much fun for the first 2 years.
Mm.
Like we still had great fun in the third year, but we were all like, you know, we all need to do well. We all motivated each other because to be fair, everyone I lived with was smart. So we all motivated each other and made sure that, like, you know, a couple times, like, you know, you had Charlie who tried to throw in an extra third night. You had to tell him the chairs like not tonight. He was always trying to throw in like maybe a third night. But yeah, I just think third year, I enjoyed third year. It was obviously a little bit tougher, a little bit more serious, but I felt like the third year was the year I really matured the most, I think, personally.
Okay. And then you get to exams. I suppose in an accounting and finance degree, what was the weighting with regards to like coursework versus actual exam?
So it all depended because you did like, I was doing like 6 different modules.
Modules, yeah.
So majority of them were like 80-20. So 80 exam, 20.
Oh, wow.
The exam was big. It was a couple like 50-50, but most of them were 80-20. And yeah, I felt that's the most nervous I felt, I think, doing an exam because I knew that meant so much.
Mm. And so a couple of questions. One, how much time? I mean, everybody crams, right? Let's not lie. But how long before you started prepping for those finals?
I would probably say a month.
Okay, wow.
I'd probably say a month. Like a month where you ramp it up.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? You start like
notes.
Yeah, notes. I'm a note man.
Mm.
I'm a big note man. I'm a guy of notes, like hella notes. Like even before the exam, I'm there with my notes. Like seconds before exam notes.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, because I'm trying to remember everything that I want to remember. So I'm with the notes right before the exam, and then I'm like in my bag, dropped it down. So that I'm that kind of guy.
Okay,
notes.
Nice.
So that's sort of the way I sort of prep.
Okay, nice. And then the other question. So obviously you did the internship. We're getting to the end of third year. Like, have you already started looking for a job post uni, or do you let the year finish and then you look once you've got your results?
So this is mad, yeah. So I'm preparing for my exams, and I get a ring from the internship. They're like, we want you to come permanently after you finish uni.
Oh wow.
So they don't even know what grades I'm getting, they don't know anything, right? They're just like, we really liked you. And I said like, when do you want me? And they were like, we want you on like Monday the 26th of May or something, right? And my final exam was Friday the 22nd or 3rd or something like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And I'm like I was planning on having like a mad summer, like a summer of like going away or doing something, whatever, maybe traveling, relaxing. And I was like oohing and aahing. And then I went and spoke to my mum, and my mum was like quite like, she's always instilled like, you work. Like my mum's from the jump's always been like, you work. Like I told her, I'm not sure. She's like, if you pass this opportunity up, you might regret it. You might not be able to get another job. So I had to take a real deep think, and I actually accepted that job whilst I was still at uni, even before my exam. I knew that I literally had like the Friday night I'd go out, Saturday I'd go out, and I'll be working in London on Monday.
Wow. What did that do for your motivation?
So yeah, I was just like, I mean, to be fair, for some people it might be like, oh, you can relax.
But the work was kind of done as well.
Yeah, I'd already been putting in that work, and it was a lot about pride. I wanted to be like, I wanted to forget about A-levels, and I thought the only way I can do this is by smashing the uni exams, right? So it was like redemption season. So like, you know, like Mo Salah versus Real Madrid. It's that setting, you know what I mean?
So what did you end up with then?
So I got first.
You got first?
I got first.
Jeez.
Yeah, I got come first. Come on. So I needed 77% in my third year, and I got like 78.
Oh, sick.
I didn't know how.
Yeah.
So I was
I
don't know how I got 78.
Yeah.
Where did I pull that one from?
Yeah. So first class, mate. So it just shows that what you do in A-levels, it doesn't define what you do at university, 100%. Right? And if you put in the work and you have the right motivations, anything is possible.
100%.
I think that is, you know, one of the key takeaways. Like, hard work, it will get you there as long as you nurture it in the right way.
100%.
Yeah, you don't do anything crazy. So congrats on that, Lou. All right, so you've accepted your first job post-uni. So exam finished Friday. Monday you start in Big Bad London. What's your first job title?
So the first job title was accounts payable assistant.
Oh, wow. Okay, proper data entry.
I was low. I was at the bottom. So, and do you know what, though? It's like, it's a great opportunity to shine as well, though. Because a lot of people do that job are either entrants from like uni, or they maybe have a family and they just want to have a job.
A
steady income to tick them over. So if you go into that job and you're hungry, you can really really progress. So I was straight away, I was like, I'm gonna I don't want to be doing this for too long.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna smash this out.
Okay. And did you have an eye on where you wanted to go already? So how long did it take you to scope? Make a plan for what you kind of wanted to do, or did you want to sample different things? Like, and was it a grad scheme? Sorry, many questions.
No, there. Not a grad scheme.
Okay.
It's actually, I went to work for a construction company, so it wasn't like a finance company or anything like that. So a lot of people would go to like, would go to maybe EY, Deloitte, KPMG.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd go there.
Morgan Stanley.
Because a lot of those places will fund it'll be a grad scheme, and you'll do your accounting qualifications. They'll pay for all that sort of stuff. So going into construction, that wasn't a guarantee. But I obviously wanted to do my qualifications. Like, that was a big thing for me, because annoyingly, you go to uni and if you were to be an accountant, you still have to do qualifications after.
Fucking stupid. But okay, so I've got so many questions on this. So did you know at uni that you wanted to do the accounting qualifications, or is this something that you learn after?
No, I knew I wanted to do them.
Okay.
So I knew I wanted to do them, yeah.
Does anything you learn at uni help with the accounting qualification?
Yeah,
exam?
So this is a key thing for anyone who wants to be an accountant. And I know, like, people think accounting's boring, but as they say, right, no one grew up wanting to be a Gary Neville. But I'm paving the way for the Trent Alexander-Arnold. That's how I see it. Gary Neville, that's the analogy, right?
Yeah, okay.
But going to uni, I was then exempt from 9 of 14 exams that I had to do post uni.
Oh wow!
So yeah. So if you don't go to uni, you have to do 14 exams.
Okay.
And then if you go to uni, you have to do 5.
Okay.
So I was exempt from 9 of them because I'd done them at uni, basically.
And what is the accreditation? Is it ACCA or ACA?
So again, you've got a choice here. And there's 3 main ones in the UK. So you've got.
Can we break those down?
Yeah,
please?
Let's break those down. So you've got ACCA,
okay,
which is Association of Chartered Certified Accountants.
Yeah.
And then there's ACA, which is Associated Chartered Accountants.
Yeah.
And then there's CIMA, which is the Certified Industry of Management Accountants or something like that, right?
Okay.
And I did ACCA. And the reason I did ACCA is because I spoke to people in my company, mm-hmm, and I said, what's best for where I'm working right now? Like, what's the best? And they said to me, the best is either ACCA or CIMA because you're working in industry. Mm. And they said that that's what it's geared towards.
Okay.
And I went with ACCA in the end because it was a bit more globally recognised. It wasn't as, I feel like CIMA is a little bit more specific.
Okay.
And yeah, it just gave me a bit more of a well-rounded qualification.
So is it ACCA that is 14 exams, yes, and then ACA and CIMA, they might
they're
have
a little bit ones. They're all very similar,
all very
but
similar,
a little bit different. So ACA is more for if you go into KPMG or Deloitte, mm-hmm, or if you go into a finance, most of them will take you through the ACA route because it's like training to become like an auditor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do that.
I didn't want to be an auditor. Okay.
So that's why I was like, I was working in industry. I was like, I need to do something more industry focused.
Okay. And so even the 5 exams that you did, over what time span? Because I know speaking to people, they do like one a summer or one every quarter. Like, how is it apportioned?
Yeah, so to qualify as an accountant, you have to have completed 14 exams and have had 3 years experience working in a finance role.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I had 5 exams and I had to have 3 years experience. So I was like, I'm not going to rush. Like, there's no point of rushing, doing 2 exams at a time, putting unnecessary stress on myself. So I literally did 1 every 6 months.
Mm.
I was going to night college after work.
Wow.
It was tough, man.
And was this paid for by the company?
Yeah,
or
so
no?
Yeah. So I had to prove to them that I was like a
worth the investment
because it's expensive.
How expensive are we talking for anybody who's if somebody had to pay for this out of their own pocket? I mean, the first bit of advice would say if you can get your company to finance it, right off the bat, that's what we say. But if worst case scenario that didn't happen,
it would have cost me near 10 grand.
Wow.
Yeah, it would have cost near 10 grand. I think so. I was
crazy.
And yeah, so I was like, I proved my worth to the company, like did a really good job. And I had a meeting with my manager and said, look, I want to do this. And they said, yeah, we're happy to fund you. Like, we see a lot of potential in you.
So how early on was that? Was that in your first role?
So I only did the accounts payable for about 6 months. Okay. And then and a finance assistant role came available, which was a lot more well-rounded. Like, it weren't just doing accounts payable, it was doing a bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I applied for that, got that. And then as soon as I was in that role, they were like, yeah, we need you to do qualifications.
Because you need to be certified.
Yeah.
So is it this role where you start to learn to become proficient in Excel, or did you always know how to?
I'll be completely honest. I've never really been a massive IT, because, you know, I was never really into IT that much. So it was that role definitely where I started to learn some like little hacks and stuff on Excel. So yeah, that's where I've really started developing like my proper finance skills, I'd say.
Okay, so what? Sorry, I know you said it, but what was that job title again?
So that was just a finance assistant. It was a lot more. Yeah. So accounts payable was very, you're just doing one thing, whereas a mm-hmm. finance assistant, you're doing. I was like supporting like the finance manager.
Nice.
And yeah, you're just touching a lot more areas.
And then from there, where do you go? Like, what do you have your eye on?
So
how long do you do that role for first?
So the finance assistant, I probably did finance assistant for maybe like 18 months, I'd say, maybe.
Okay.
And it's really frustrating because I was doing really well. And like, when it comes to like promotions and stuff like that, talking to management, they're like, we need you to qualify.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And you're getting frustrated because you're like, what, like, I don't understand that. I understand that you need the qualification, but I'm proving my worth. Like, why? So that's really, really frustrating.
So that's just like basically 3 years before you get any significant promotion.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
you need to qualify.
Yeah, you need to qualify. Like, they'll give you promotions, but you're not gonna get like
the bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like working. I was working hard. Like, I was finishing work, going to college, finishing college at 9 p.m., getting home about 10:30. just repeat. And I remember at this part of my life, like this was like early 20s, and like I was taking like big sacrifices, like, got, like, you know, you guys might have been out, I'll be at home revising. I took a big sacrifice, I'd say from like 22 to 25. Like, not, I'd still go to like the motives and stuff, but there'd be motives where I'd be like, I'm not coming, I've got an exam.
Yeah,
I was
quite
disciplined in that period of
time. I think
life.
You've always been a disciplined individual, I can say that, knowing you, the accountant. fair. Okay, so you did that for 18 months. What was the next one?
So after that, so that would have been, I'd have been about 2 years.
Yeah.
And then they promoted me to like assistant manager.
Okay.
So they promoted me to assistant manager, and they said, look, you'll get the manager title when you qualify, basically. So I went to assistant manager, and at the time, like, my manager had actually left. And what they did was, it was kind of cheeky at the time, is I basically filled her role without getting the title. So I was doing quite a important job. But obviously I didn't have the title at the time, and I was working with a lot of like the stakeholders in the company, meeting with like doing like budgets, reports, had some good FaceTime with people. But I'd say, I wasn't really getting remunerated probably as much as I should have been at the time, which is a bit frustrating. But
of course. Oh my God, what was my question going to be on that? So you do that, and in this time, you hit your 3 years, right?
Yep.
So you become a qualified accountant. Yes, this is what I was going to ask. How hard are the exams? Because obviously you talk about night college. Night college is necessary.
Tough.
Well, you've got to study, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
So the college helped?
Yes.
Okay.
They're by far the toughest exams I've done.
Wow.
To pass, you only need 50%.
Oh, wow.
Guys don't get 50. Like,
wow.
It's like, you think, oh, 50%. Like,
how long are the exams?
3 hours.
Bloody hell, even that. Yeah. And just equations.
Yeah, 3 hours. Like, they're varying different modules and topics, but... yeah, like, they were tough exams. Like, every exam I came out, I was like, I failed. Like, that's how you felt after every one. I was like, I failed.
Just the tech is required is crazy.
Yeah, and luckily, like, every time I come out, I passed everyone first time.
Yeah.
Like, it was lucky because a load of people resit. Like, rates are really mad.
And you've got to pay more money, right?
Yeah, you've got to pay. Yeah, it's like £150 an exam or something.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, that's really good to know. So all right, you pass, you're a qualified ACCA accountant, then what happens at work?
So instant gratification.
Oh, really?
The instant,
as in
like that, like literally within a few weeks, like the bump was there.
Yeah,
I was happy. you worked all this, you want to see something for it, right? So you know, I mean, I was lucky in the company I worked for, because it was a very, I'd had a good reputation, I'd worked hard, and I was liked by management. So I think that helps in those scenarios. Mm. But yeah, it was an instant gratification, and it sort of started to make me feel like it was worth
all the sacrifice,
worth doing it.
Any job title change? So from assistant, do you become manager, or no, not at this point?
So at this point, I'm still an assistant manager, and I'd been working in this team for like maybe what is it three and a half years maybe, and then the opportunity came up into working like another finance team, but in a different
discipline,
yeah, like in a different division, focused a lot more like on the business. I was working like a corporate function, and this was to actually work on the business. So I took the opportunity. It was kind of like a bit of a lateral move, but I just saw it as like another way of gaining more experience. It was like more like project related accounting. And again, in hindsight, maybe I wouldn't have taken that role.
Oh, really?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay, wow. Did you not enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, but I just felt like I'd gone from a team where I was really, really like well respected, and really like, you know, I think they would have liked to. I probably had like a plan in place to really climb up the ladder in that team. And I decided I just wanted to go and do something different, because I feel like you have to freshen it up. But I went to this team, and
I don't think that's a bad thing. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, so I went to this team, and you know, when you're like, I just felt like, am I really, like, I just got the impression, I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to work my way up in this team.
I just feel like, that's happened at times.
Yeah, I feel like it was a bit siloed.
So what happened when you were having like your one-to-ones?
So with my one-to-ones, I was like, I'm, you know, obviously I always say to, I'm always very like open and honest in my conversation. Like, I'm never, I think the key to when you speak to management is you should never be rude or never be like aggressive when you're talking about like, you know, progression, pay, anything like that. I think you have to be very level-headed. And I just said to them, look, like, I'm, you know, are you happy with the work I'm doing? if you're happy, like, what have I got to do? Like, what do I need to do to achieve to go to the next step? And they say what I need to achieve, and then I'll be like, I feel like I'm achieving it. Do you know, and you're like, I feel like I'm achieving it, so I don't understand. And that's probably the first time in that company where I started to have doubts about, is this the right place that I need to progress, kind of thing.
And then does that lead to you moving companies then? So you're an assistant manager at this time.
Yep.
And like you said, it's like project manager, but it's account based.
Yep.
And yeah, so talk to me about the transition into the next work.
So an ex-colleague of mine had was working in a financial services company.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been interested in financial services. I think, you know, it's a good sector to be in if you want to be in finance. And he said to me, oh, there's a job going, like, why don't you like apply for it? And
was the job more money?
The job was more money.
Okay.
Yeah, the job was more money.
Because you wouldn't just apply for another lateral move.
Yeah. The job was more money. Yeah.
I mean, job title?
Job title was actually senior financial analyst.
Okay.
So it, in terms of like financial services works very different to construction. So in terms of like move wise, it wasn't necessarily like a massive jump up in terms of title, but the money was more and the scope of the role was better as well. And he says he'd apply for it. So I went, and I always feel like when you apply for a job where you're not overly bothered whether you get it, you always seem to do well in the interview. I always say, like, if you have a relaxed approach to the interview, you seem to do well. So I got through the first stage, got through the second stage, and then they offered me the job.
Oh, wow.
I was
out of the blue?
Yeah, I was a bit shocked, to be fair, because I wasn't really I didn't go in thinking, oh, I really want, like, you know, I'm really good, really, really.
Was it just, like, speaking interviews, or was there, like, any competency?
Yeah, no, it was mainly speaking. So the first stage was with the two, like, next managers, basically the manager level, and then the second one was with the VP,
mm-hmm.
so who, like, ran the EMEA finance team. So it was more question related. It wasn't really a competency one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got offered the job, and I remember I handed my notice in. I think they were very shocked. And they were saying to me, like, we don't want you to leave. Like, we see so much potential in you. But there was, like, no counter.
Oh, really?
There was no counter. So I'm like, at this point, you know, if you really want me, I want you to counter.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean. I really want you to counter. And I didn't get no counter, and it got to like the third week, so I was 1 week from leaving, and then they counted. But at this point, it's too late.
You checked out,
it's
aren't
too late.
You?
It's too late. You know, you either have to show someone the love and the value then, or you check out. And I checked out, and I was like, nah, I've already decided.
Do you think, I suppose, for any potential managers, how do they mitigate you even applying? Would you say that you need more consistent bumps, or it's just one of those things where you just didn't feel like you were growing, so you felt like obliged to apply?
I think it's a tough one, because, you know, I'd actually had experience of managing in that company. So I was like 24, and I was like managing two people. And it is difficult. Like, I don't envy, like, management is tough.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, sometimes it's actually not your manager's fault. It's actually your manager's fault, or your manager's fault. So I don't really ever have never have like hard time towards my manager, because I sometimes know that their hands are tied. So I think for managers, I just think it's, you know, when your manager's got your back, I just want to see my manager's got my back and trying to make
moves.
Yeah, trying to progress me. If I see them trying, that's all I really, really care about. I just want to see some effort, and I know that they really want me to succeed. I just felt like at that point in time, I was like, do they really want me to? That's the sort of feeling I was like, do they really want me to succeed? I'm not sure. And that's when you have to start thinking.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Because you don't owe them anything at the end of the day. Just a couple of other things. So before we move to the next company, so obviously the construction company pay for your qualification. With them paying for it, is there like a mandatory amount of time you have to be there after in order to not have to pay that back? Because I know that's a question that must come up.
Yeah, so technically, if it is that right? I don't want to make myself in it, but technically, it's like, if you're there for like, if you, depending on how much you spend, you have to stay a certain amount of time.
Okay.
Let's just say, man got away with it.
Oh, he got away with one. Okay. If they're listening,
don't come for me.
Ray Charles, innit? All right, and then we move into the next company, like we said. So you're at the financial services company now. So, I mean, I suppose my first question is, like, how does it feel? Like, you've been at this last company for 3-4 years. You've established yourself. You're going into, like, a new industry, new sector. Like, what's your game plan? Because it's all new.
It was actually, again, one of the loneliest I felt.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I felt really lonely at first because the person who had actually sort of headhunted me, within, like, a month of being there, he said he's leaving.
Crazy.
So I felt a bit
blindsided.
Yeah, because I was a bit like, I came here because you told me to. Yeah. And then you but he had his reasons for leaving, so I don't begrudge him in that sense. He had his reasons for leaving, but he left and I was just like, new people, new company, new sector. It was very daunting. And yeah, it was tough. I'd say like the first 3 to 6 months were really tough. I felt quite lonely. It's, you know, and it was an interesting experience, but I had good people in my team. Mm. They helped me get through that tough opening. And I always say to people, because a lot of people say to me now, like, they'll move job and they'll be like, I hate my job, or I hate it, I just want to leave. I'm like, please give it 6 months.
Mm.
Because it's the first 6 months is the worst.
Mm.
And if you still feel like that after 6 months, then I'd say
contemplate.
Yeah, then start thinking about leaving. But it does and can get better.
And why did it get better after 3 to 6 months?
I just think, first of all, is for me, I don't like not knowing stuff.
Mm.
And then the more stuff I started to know, and I started to feel like competent and stuff, I got more comfortable with my role, started to know more people. And then you just have that little bit of swagger about you in the office where you can sort of walk around and, you know, I like to talk to people. And yeah, I think after 6 months, you know, I had a good team as well. Like I felt like I had a good manager. So yeah, I was happy with like all those sort of things, and they all got better over the 6 months. Mm-hmm. Helped me sort of settle in.
Okay, so you've been there 6 months. Do you have a clear pathway on where you want to go within this new company now you're there?
So yeah, so I think and again, you know, I spoke to my manager at the time, and I said like, I'm really ambitious. Like, I wanna progress. Is there progression in this company? And again, they said,
are you doing this in? Sorry to cut you out. Are you doing this in like one-to-ones, in like end of year meetings, or just off your own back, like,
yeah,
for people listening?
I mean, I'd say like my end of year reviews, I write the most detailed review.
Mm.
Like, I know some people don't take it seriously. I take it seriously.
Mm.
Screenshots. I'm screenshotting good, like, emails I'm getting from high people and like putting them in my end of year review.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you need to know what I've done this year.
Yeah.
I think people don't take
that's it. That's a great takeaway.
People don't take it seriously. Yeah. I was like, I did in one of my years, I did like this global project where I like automated a process across the whole finance function across the world. So like I did it for Asia, for America, for Latin America, and like it was a big project. And I knew that if I fail, that this could be the end of, like, it was one of those projects. I felt like if I fail here, this is going to be like a black mark against my name. If I do well, this is going to put me in great stead. I did well on it, and my end of year review, I just was talking about it, you know, putting all the screenshots that I'd presented to the CFO of the company. I had some great, like, you know, got some real good visibility. I think you really have to hone in and tell people like what you're doing. I'm not saying you have to like
gloat.
It's not gloating. It's just showing like, this is what I've contributed. This is what I contribute. And I think that goes a long way to showing, you know, management exactly how much you're doing.
Mm. That's a great piece of advice. So, you are, what's the job title when you started there, sorry?
So I was a senior financial analyst.
And then we go to?
And then I went to, so the step up was, it was actually now, I was finally, after all this time, a finance manager.
Okay.
So it felt a bit weird because I was a finance manager, but I felt like I should have been a finance manager.
Yeah.
I felt like I should have been a finance manager about 3 years ago. Mm. So it was a bit weird because I felt like I'd been at that level for ages.
So how many people are you managing as a finance manager?
Well, it's funny because you don't necessarily have to manage
people. Okay.
You don't have to necessarily manage people to be a finance manager.
Okay.
And
does the scope of what you're doing change much?
So it just becomes, it's more like...
less approvals.
Yeah. You're more, you know, a lot of the, you're calling the shots a lot
more. Autonomy.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
No, it's, so the colleague I was working with, we kind of like, before I felt like I was assisting him, it then became a bit more of a mutual respect.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
We're kind of split the work, and, you know, I'm going to take this part of the business, you're going to take this part of the business. So yeah, you get a little bit more respect from your colleagues as well. So yeah, it was basically the same role, but it was just a promotion.
Okay.
It was a promotion.
And then from finance manager, we get to
the associate finance director. So
What do you have to do? Is this another you showed loads of emails?
So this was actually, again, I think there's a lot of luck involved in the workplace as well. Like, I think sometimes it's right place, you know, right time. But
sometimes you make your own luck,
yeah,
right?
No, yeah, agreed. And you have to show them that you're you know, you can do the job. And I feel like one of my colleagues had actually left, and he was an associate director of finance. And you know, I spoke to him, and he was like, "Lewis, like, you'd smash this. Like, you'd kill this. Like, I know, I see your work, like, you know, you're really good. Like, you should definitely apply for it." And I thought, you know, I was like, I'm definitely going to do it. It was a bit of a change in role. Like, I was changing what I was doing. It wasn't the same with what I was doing previously.
I think that's always good, right? Because
yeah,
you're learning.
Yeah, so I wanted to do that because I was like, I've been doing this for like 3 years. I wanted something different. And I applied for the job, and I went through a few interviews. And it was weird because, you know, when you're interviewing with people that you know, it's a very different experience because it's like, you know me.
But you still got to be professional.
You've got to be professional.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's I didn't take anything for granted. This actually happened during the pandemic. And I remember, like, I was at home and it was virtual, and I, like, put on a suit, tie. Like, I was like, I'm taking this really seriously.
Trousers as well.
Trousers.
Fair.
Like, I'm taking this, that, you know, this is, you know, this is, for me, I really, really wanted this role because I saw this role as a real big step up. And I really, you know, I was like, I really, really want this. So, yeah, I think it's important not to be, you know, too jokey in those kind of internal interviews, because although you know them, you've got to have the right balance between, like, you know that you can get away with
be serious,
a few
yeah.
more things, but you got to take it seriously. So, yeah, so I went for the interviews for that. I think, again, that was two rounds. And yeah, thankfully, I mean, I got the job. I think I got the job like last September.
Okay. So you've been doing it for, let's just say, just over 6 months.
Yeah.
So yeah, it brings us nicely up to the current day. So, like, what's next? In so you're associate finance director. I mean, any director title is good. You know, bread is good. Yeah. You know, life seems to be good. You're traveling. You know, I've been away with you a couple of times. You know, post pandemic. So I know that you're living good. Yeah. Where do you see yourself in the next, I suppose, yeah, 3 to 5 years?
I think.
What's the end goal for you?
Yeah, I think. So the next, in terms of like in the current company, the next role would be to become an actual director. So it's associate director, then it's director. And I think that's got to be the immediate target in this company. But I think you've always got to be prepared that, you know, don't rest on your laurels. So I always say, for me, I think a good time to be in a role is between 18 months to 2 years in terms of, like, doing the same stuff. I think once I get to 2 years, I start thinking, well, where can I go? How can I improve? Like, what role can I go on to next? So 2 years for me was still a bit of time away. So I'm going to enjoy doing this role, learning this role. And I think in 2 years' time, I'm going to start then thinking, you know, how do I make that next step? And whether that's a move within my team, whether that's an internal move within my company.
Yeah, like a lateral shift. Yeah.
Or whether that's an external move, I don't know right now.
Yeah, of course.
But I think, yeah, within the next couple of years, I've got a decision to make of sort of where I go.
Mate, Lou, we're coming to the end. This has been a great episode. I mean, to anybody, I think you've dispelled the myths that accounting is boring.
Do you know what? I think the one myth I do want to... I think people think, when I say I'm an accountant, everyone thinks that I can do your personal accounts. And technically, yes, I can. But it's very, very different to what I do on a day-to-day basis. I don't do people's accounts. I do...
businesses.
Yeah, I do, like... My role is actually called FP&A, so it's like financial planning analysis. So it's very much looking at, like, you know, looking at the company's performance and giving advice on how we can, you know, do better. It's very different to doing personal accounts. And the best thing about finance in general is there isn't just a one, like, a one street.
So many disciplines, isn't
so
there?
So many different, you know, you spoke to Simon, tax, and Anton's doing tax, and there's audit, and, you know, there's so many different parts of finance. And, you know, it doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah. So, like, is this people should stop asking you to do their personal account?
Yeah. No. Don't. Like, I think, like, for me, again, in the future,
yeah,
I always say that the maybe the dream would be to, like, do my own thing. But not right now. Like, I'm enjoying working in London. I enjoy working for a company.
Yeah.
And I think, again, long-term goal, maybe it would be to, like, start honing in on maybe doing personal accounts. But right now, that's not what I want to do.
Okay, two more questions before we wrap up. First one is, do you have a mentor? Second one is, are you doing any mentoring? And is that something you think about? So three questions.
So in terms of, like, I don't have like I wouldn't call it an official mentor or anything like that, but like I do have colleagues that I go to in my company, where like I go for advice.
They're your mentor, bro.
Yeah, but you know, in some companies, like, there's an official mentor. My company do offer that as well. But I have good people in my company to go to, and I always look to reach out to people that have been doing what I do for longer to find out, like, you know, what sort of the best practices are. And in terms of mentoring, again, I don't have an official thing, but I always
your door's always open.
Yeah, my door is always open. Like, even like, I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do this, because I just think it's important for people to hear, like, different stories and know that...
That's why we're here, man.
You know, there's ups and downs in your career, and there's 100%. Ups and downs in life. And, you know, it just shows you can always bounce back. And I always say that to people. Facts. I always say to people, like, work hard, don't get disheartened, and just keep going. Because one day someone's going to realise, like, someone will notice your good work, and you will get rewarded. It may not happen in this company, but it will happen in the next one.
The power of compounding. Honestly, it's the power of compounding. That's what I always talk about. Like, yeah, like you say, you might not see the progressions, but when you look back on yourself in 5 years' time, 10 years' time, the compounding effect of all of the hard work and stuff that you put in, it will be there for everyone to see. But with that, Lou, I mean, yeah, thank you so much for taking the time today. I don't know if you want to plug any socials for people to get you. I know you're a private person, so maybe not. But
I mean, if you want to hit me up, you can hit me up at Look at Lou Now. Nothing that interesting going on, really, other than just, you know, traveling and trying to enjoy life. And, you know, you can really see what the life of an accountant really is. But
lives it. And yeah, with that, guys, thank you to everybody who's listened to this point. If you have, please remember to like, comment, subscribe, share at Vibes and Tribes. And with that is the end of this episode. Lewis, thank you so much. Vibes and Tribes, over and
let's
out.
Let's go.